This is Ranger Kidwell Roth, editor at World Sweeper. It is late in the day on May the 2nd. For the first time, I've been able to reach Mark Schwartz, president of Victory Sweepers. He actually reached me. So, Mark, so glad to hear that you're safe.
Well, thank you. We're tickled to be alive, too. So, excuse me, I'm driving while I'm talking to you. I've got about 15 minutes before I have to be in before curfew, which is a little different in my life. I don't think I've ever experienced that before, at least not since I've been 21.
curfew, I know when you were growing up, curfew was somewhere around 6 in the morning when you got your lot swept.
Yeah, no, curfew was a little earlier than that for me. But yeah, it's dusk till dawn, roughly 8 o'clock, and it's about a quarter till right now. So I went and dropped off some candles at somebody's house over here on Chris Nelson's house. And we're all expecting power on, hopefully, tomorrow. They're talking about tomorrow. But I can tell you, the devastation, we are very blessed and very fortunate to have the little bit of inconvenience that we have today. I mean, it's a mile from my house, and I live about 9 miles northwest of the Victory Factory. And my house has no damage at all, zero, none. And the house next door has a chunk of roof missing. And the house on the other side has a little bit of roof damage, but not really bad. There's lots of tree damage in our neighborhood. There's lots of, swing sets blown over. That's nothing really major. But you go about a mile and a half north of me, maybe 2 miles north of me, and it's literally a path cut in the ground that's about half to three-quarter of a mile wide, as far as the eye can see, to the east and to the west. So it's pretty scary. We're very, very thankful to be be a little inconvenienced and to still be breathing. I mean, we were going through the Huntsville Times and looking at the obituaries. It's a sad story. There's a lot of people died in this. It's not a believe me, it's not a joke. And we've inconvenienced some customers, which we're sure sorry about. But I can tell you that it's just one of those unfortunate tragedies that you have to just get through it one way or the other.
Well, I certainly can't imagine a half a mile to three-quarter mile wide swath of everything demolished as far as you can see looking east to west. That's astonishing.
It looks like God reached down and stripped the trees with his hands, because the trees are still there, but there's nothing on them. They're literally little sticks, little twigs, and any leaves, or most of the bark has all been stripped off of it. And I mean, that's a half to three quarters of a mile wide as far as the eye can see, left to right or east to west. It's pretty humbling when you see that. And then there was houses here, and you can see that there's no houses there anymore. And on 100 feet, 1,000 feet down the road, everything's just fine. Just a nice path carved right down in through the middle of civilization here. So very thankful to be only inconvenienced.
And all of the people, to your knowledge, as part of the Victory organization, are okay?
Yes. We have accounted for everybody except for a couple of folks who are out of town. Self-service has been really the part that's been the most shocking. I would have thought self-service would have been good, but obviously, towers are going to go down there too. But and the use of cell phones probably went up a pretty big amount too, cell service has been, I couldn't call my voicemail, so the first day of this thing I had 28 voicemails, which finally at about midnight I could call my voicemail. Of course, then it's 2 in the morning in some places, so I couldn't call anybody back, but text seemed to work, which I thought was kind of ironic. But anyway, so those little things that you kind of take for, but you don't think about, you never know what's gonna be the line of communication. It does make you think about, a big tragedy, a nuclear bomb or something. It makes you think about what are you gonna do, and how would you communicate, and food and water. We're driving to Athens, which is about a 30-mile trip, to get fuel for the car and generators and those kind of things. So, but we're fortunate. We have for fuel, we have generators, and we have that kind of stuff. So that's all good.
So you had a generator that was able to run your house.
Well, we had a generator that was able to run some things in the house. It wouldn't run the whole house. I mean, we have no hot water. Have not had any hot water. We have gas stove, so we're in good shape there. But we have electric water heater, brilliant. But you never think about those kind of things until this kind of stuff happens. So the generators, I've had the generators for probably seven, eight years, and of course they haven't run in probably, 6 or 7 years. So they're, everything was gummed up, the fuel tank had rust in it, you take all the stuff that you never prepared for, you should be prepared for. But the weather was beautiful, so that was good. You put your shorts on, you get outside, you get back into the old habit of being a mechanic and getting things running and foraging basically for stuff you need to survive for the day. And ice is a big commodity. Water, we had plenty. Water was still on, thank God. That was another blessing. We had all the water we needed, and all of it was cold, but we had water nonetheless.
And what kind of an area there around Huntsville is out of power? Is it all of the Huntsville, Madison, or just parts?
Well, I may have the statistics wrong, but this is what we're hearing, is Wednesday night, when the tornado, the third wave hit, which was about 5 o'clock, which did all the damage, did a lot of the damage out in our area out here. When that happened, there were all of Madison County was out of power, and there were some surrounding counties out of power. I've never in my life ever seen this. They said 650,000 people without power. So, I've never seen the entire city without power. And if you've never experienced that, I can tell you, it's a different kind of dark. It's another eye opener. You don't realize, dark. There's no such thing as dark. It's the absence of light. And when there is no light, oh my goodness, it's pretty scary.
Well, and the things that can happen in that dark if people are up to no good too. You said that there has been a minor amount of looting and that police are taking that very seriously.
They are, and the good news is we live in Alabama, so guns are prevalent, there's a lot of folks that I heard calling in on the local radio station saying, look, I'm in this community, and we're patrolling, and if we catch you out there in a house looting, we're going to shoot you on sight. So it's Alabama at its best, and I think some of that did what it was supposed to do, which was deter the bad elements, and there's always bad elements, but I think the first day they had 30 lootings and one shooting and a death, and because of that shooting, and the second day they had 7. So evidently that worked.
That makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Any idea how long it'll take to get victory back? Will that, it's of course electrical dependent.
It is, and we delivered a sweeper on Friday, which was a little different because it was one of the new CHGs, and it wasn't completed, so we had to break out the hand tools, and there was no air and no electrical, so that was a little different. But you get by. There's some things we can't get by if they're not delivering parts, if they're not there's some things that we have to have power to see and do, which we don't have yet. But to answer your question, sorry. Was that I expect it to be up, they're saying tomorrow, but it could be as late as Wednesday. We looked at generators and first of all, didn't know it was going to be this long. They've been talking about it, but today there was a lot of hope. I think 30% of Huntsville has power today, which is the day before it was only 3% had power. So we're looking like maybe tomorrow we're keeping a fair truck. We're actually in today. We shipped some emergency parts out FedEx today. But shipments coming in, we only have a few in, and hard to check without power. We're calling David Cruz at his house, who has internet and power, and he's checking our FedEx and our UPS to see what's coming and when it's going to be here. And some of that's still kind of sketchy. But I'd say no later than Wednesday, but we're hoping and praying for tomorrow.
Well, I think this Yankee ingenuity and the American, entrepreneurial spirit, shall we say, shines very brightly at times like this, and I know you have a lot of that.
It really does, and the beauty is, Ranger, that everybody lays down their differences, no matter what they are. For the most part, I've never had a better conversation with my neighbors. Of course, there wasn't too much else to do, but people you meet at the store, I remember coming in right after the storm hit, and there was a little lull, and the wind was pretty much died down, but out of the sky were falling pieces of shingles and insulation and paper and just falling out of the sky and falling in the lake behind my house and in my yard and on people's roofs. And I mean, lots of this stuff from evidently a tornado that touched down somewhere down towards the Tuscaloosa area or Cullman area. But you'd be amazed how much time you've had to talk to your neighbors and people at stores and hear all these stories. But when I pulled in the yard that day, just before I pulled in, the radio was announcing all the damage, and they said, "Well, we're just going to read what we've been given. We don't know what it means, but we're going to read it just quoted just as it's been given to us." And that is the town of Phil Campbell, which is a little town. I really don't know exactly where it's at, but the town of Phil Campbell is gone. And that's what I heard as I pulled in my driveway, and all the neighbors are standing out looking up at the sky. And I get out of the car, and they said, "Oh, what's going on?" We kind of talk a little bit, and they said, "Yeah, we're trying to find so-and-so's mother. She lives in Phil Campbell." So,
that's tough.
And go, let me tell you what I just heard. Well, I think Phil Campbell, I think they lost 15 people there. Her good news was his mother was okay. But there's I think it was 15 people, and again, the statistics get kind of mixed up here a little bit, but there were people killed in that town. So there were people killed a mile and a half from my house. It's serious. It's not a joke.
Well, and as I told you offline, and a business acquaintance I spoke with was good friends with one of the football players at Alabama, and called to just make sure that their son was okay, and found that he was a mile from campus with his girlfriend, and was knocked out for 6.5 hours, and his girlfriend perished in the tornado. And you don't know what to say when you call
to try to say the right thing, but
there is nothing to say.
Yeah, there isn't, and that's the time when you reach over and give somebody a hug and you just sit there with them, because there's a lot of that going on right now. And if it's not a direct relative, it's a friend of a direct relative. And everybody's touched. It's not like just because it didn't hit our house, but we're okay. Everybody's touched. And if you're doing any kind of community service or community work, and I have to tell you, I haven't done as much as I should have been doing. But I know Monte Countess has been. They've been out, cleaning up. And I can tell you, the folks that come by and bring food and water, I mean, I'm talking common folks just stopping in and feeding people and bringing cold water. I mean, it's really a good thing. It's the part of America that I really like, and it's the part of America that I think I like to see more of. I hate it's a tragedy that brings it out, but it's like when two brothers are fighting. They fight real bad, real serious, but as soon as somebody from the outside steps up and starts fighting them, they join together, and that's kind of what it felt like. The problem was we had to survive, and so the brothers got together, and we everybody shouldered up and helped each other out. And if we had candles, we gave them out, and if they had water, they brought them over. The neighbors had showers, we didn't. We had a gas stove, they didn't. I had a generator, they didn't. So we had cords running here and there, and it's a great thing. It's a good thing.
How far is Cullman from you?
Cullman is probably about 35, 40 miles south.
Okay, and how far is Tuscaloosa?
Tuscaloosa is going to be probably 120 miles, 150 miles from Huntsville.
So just to put a perspective, to go back to something you said a minute ago, you're talking about material coming down and lots of it in your neighborhood, and learning that is from a tornado maybe 35 miles away, maybe over 100 miles away.
Right.
And that's astonishing.
And you hear, you hear all the rumors or statistics on the radio. I think the 80 miles or 90 miles was the record of letters that they found was 90 miles away, I think. And that was a couple of days ago I heard that. So, you don't know whether that's real or not. But I did see it falling out of the sky. And I tell you what it reminded me of that movie War of the Worlds, where the aliens are sucking up all these people. They were spitting out was their clothes and stuff, and they were falling out of the sky. And I remember looking up thinking, man, what is that? Because it's not just one piece. It's a lot of pieces. All at one time, you could probably count four or five of them floating from the air. And, some are big. Some are, foot square. And some of them are, 6 inches square. And, they're twirling down as they're coming down, landing in different places. You go out and look at them, and they're pieces of shingle or pieces of asbestos insulation. And it's just amazing to think that, you know, that's been sitting up there, you know, for how long? Who knows? Maybe 100 miles worth and floating through the sky. So that tells you how powerful the wind is. The amazing part was I saw the superstructure with the big towers that bring all the power into TVA and Browns Ferry Nuclear over here. And I can't remember the number that were knocked down. I want to say 36 or something like that had been knocked down and crushed. And literally they are crushed. And these are the big, big superstructure towers. But there's one laying out there on the side, and it's got the base still connected to it, and the base has got to be about the size of my house, and I'm exaggerating a little bit, but it's pretty big. But it's about 2 foot, 3 foot thick, and it's just still attached to the superstructure, pulled out of the ground, sitting on the side. You think about, God, what kind of power does it take to do that? Or trailer house, main structure I-beams, the main frame of a trailer house wrapped around a tree like a U. Now think about that.
Yeah.
So that tells you the power. I hate to cut you short, Ranger, but yep, it's getting dark here, and it looks like it's actually storm again. But we're going to put a little gas in the generator here and get it going tonight.
All right. Well, I'm certainly glad that you're safe, and thanks so much for giving me an update and being willing to put this on tape so we can play it out for the industry, because I know a lot of people are concerned. I've gotten phone calls asking. So.
Well, we appreciate the patience of our customers. Once they find out what was going on, everybody's calling out. I've got sweeper souls sitting on the line that, you know, are missing, you know, anywhere from something small to something large. And you know, the customers have been waiting on them now for, you know, a week. And everybody's been real patient. And we really appreciate that, because there's really not much you can do. I mean, there's not, you know, we've looked at the generator thing and probably should have done it. In hindsight's perfect, but you know, we're hoping for tomorrow, no later than Wednesday, but we'll keep you posted if that doesn't happen.
All right, thank you very much.